Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Last night, the Padres beat the Angels in Anaheim 5-4, and no one's happier to sit here and talk about it than our host, Jesse Agler.
It's what makes baseball my favorite sport, is that we can sit here and have these conversations and have these arguments, and that's the fun part of it.
Today, the Padres come home for the first of seven at Petco Park, which means fun and games for everyone in San Diego. Everyone, that is, except for the hard-working, ever-prepared Kurt Bevacqua.
I have to be that fine-tuned. Other people can come to the ballpark and enjoy the game where they are and have their hot dogs and everything
else.
That's
not you. You got the clipboard out. You're taking notes. You're a serious ball watcher.
I want to see where everything is.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Kurt Bevacqua.
Kurt Bevacqua, colon, serious man.
Colon?
Yeah. No, like in a set, like punctuation,
oh,
not
okay.
Anatomy.
There you go.
Yeah.
I was just checking.
Yeah, yeah. Serious man. When you're at the ball game, you're serious.
Absolutely.
You're
always have been, always will be,
you're
probably.
You're a professional. You're not some idiot like me. You're a professional.
Nah, I wouldn't go that far. You're professional also.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. That was very nice.
In a different way.
Very different.
I'm even like that when I do Little League games. I mean, it's
I
sad.
Now, you coach Little League. This is a good thing you brought up. Now, you guys had some nice success, by the way. Congratulations. You know, we've been getting the updates. I know you didn't go quite as far.
Moderate.
Wow. Tough,
man.
You're
doing good as Eric Grubner's team.
I heard that.
Yes.
The general counsel for the Padres.
Exactly.
All up in the Little League there. So they're having some great success. But next season, when you're coaching, I want to come watch a game.
I might hang it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, is this breaking news?
No.
Oh, okay, you've told people.
Yeah.
Because if we were going to break the news, I would want to have the breaking news sound effect.
Oh, I would. It would have been much more dramatic.
Do you have a press release coming out? So what's behind this decision?
You know, not probably my wife.
Okay. Behind most decisions in a man's life, right?
It is what it is.
Yeah, okay, no, that's fair. A little more time at home.
Absolutely.
So what you're supposed to, if we're going to do athlete speak, you're supposed to translate that into, I want to spend more time with my family. That's what you're supposed to say there.
Oh, no, it gives me, I spend a lot of time with my family, even coaching. It gives me a lot more time with my boys.
Right.
I think that's one of the reasons.
Got it. Spend time with them away from the baseball field.
That, you know, a dad coaching is.
Sure.
It's, you know, the daddy ball thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not that good.
Yeah, it's got to be tough on everybody.
It is.
I imagine tough on your son and, you know, tough on you. And the dynamic between a coach and a player is different than a father and a son. And you're trying to marry all of that together. I understand.
Yeah.
People do it all the time. Now, did your kid get preferential treatment?
Oh, no. He got
opposite.
The worst of it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. It's usually one of the two extremes.
Exactly.
I remember growing up, there was, you know, sometimes the coach's kid, he was like the starting pitcher. And I was like, the guy can't even get the ball to the plate. But then other times, you know, he was like never playing, even though he was the best player. So it goes one of two ways.
That's exactly why I wanted to get into it, to get away from getting the coaches whose son is in the league, and the only reason he's managing so the kid can play.
Got it. So you wanted to clean up the Little League scene.
I just wanted to have competitiveness amongst the teams. That's
I understand.
All.
All right. Well, you know what? If this is the end, congratulations on your run. How many years did you do this?
Little League?
Yeah.
It was my first
year. Oh, it was your first year?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it had been
now,
going
I managed
up.
Travel ball before.
That's
that.
What it was. Okay. Okay. So are you
entirely
giving up,
different.
So you're giving up coaching altogether? Or are you going to go back to the travel ball thing? Or what's next for Kurt?
As the
Now, if you're not ready to say, if you're not ready to make a formal announcement, I don't want to pressure you into it.
I'm going to get my doctorate because I'm a doctor.
Doctor,
now.
Yeah, Dr.
Exactly.
Kurt. Yeah.
So we'll go from there.
Okay.
I'll make the announcement soon.
Stay tuned. Again, I'm not going to force anything out of you. Welcome to Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. Yeah. We're here at the AMR studio at Petco Park. The Padres are back home. They just wrapped up a 3-3 road trip, but they won the last two. And so they will try and tie their season high with a third consecutive win tonight. Think about that. Padres have yet to win four in a row so far here in 2015. This seems like a pretty good time to get on a roll. Pittsburgh on a roll. They have won six consecutive ball games, four games against the Pirates, three games against the Mets for a seven-game homestand here. And last night was good, right? Like you had the pitching, you had some offense, you didn't have to wait until extra innings for the offense, and then you had a really thrilling way for the game to end, something that you don't get to see all that often.
Well, the starting pitching has certainly come around for this ball club, and just seeing Matt Kemp swinging the bat the way he has the last couple of nights, is a pleasure. I mean, you know, it's what everybody's been waiting for the last few weeks because he's been struggling. And then for him to throw the runner out at second base, I think that guy kind of surprised everybody, the pinch hitter for the Angels last night. But if it wasn't for an aware right fielder, then he would have definitely made it with a strong arm, by the way.
Yeah, Giovatella, I believe, was the guy that hit it into right field. And you make a good point because I think it's really easy as an outfielder in that situation to just sort of assume he's going to stay at first and to sort of nonchalant it a little bit. I think you could have seen a lot of people do that. And so Giovatella taking that chance, Kemp, he was with it all the way. And then there's obviously the physical act of making a good, accurate throw, and Marista doing a good job on the back end as well. I mean, he made it exactly the way he needed to make it. And the walk-off outfield assist, it does not happen very often.
It does not happen very often. And he was going, Giovatella was going all the way. I mean, there was no pause at first base, so it's not like he broke stride,
right,
and that's the reason he got thrown out. He was looking for a double from the time he hit the ball, I believe.
Yeah, trying to get himself into scoring position as the potential tying run. All right, let me ask you, what are you more encouraged by right now in this moment, 5:36 Pacific Standard Time on May 28th? Are you more encouraged by the starting pitching the last time and a half through the rotation or by Matt Kemp offensively the last two nights?
Both things that I never thought that we'd have to discuss.
Yeah.
But I'm encouraged by both. I mean, I'm certainly encouraged by the starting pitching. And we knew Matt was going to come out of it. It was just a matter of when. And, you know, I was talking to Glenn Hoffman right before I came into the studio here.
Well, name drop, yeah.
And, no, we were talking about how finite Matt's swing is and how his timing has to be so perfect because he waits so long for the ball to get to him. If you watch him, he's just on it. When the ball's coming to the plate, I mean, he's there, and he waits for the ball to get on him. He's not hitting the ball out front unless it's an off-speed pitch, and timing is perfect for him. The last couple of nights, we've seen that timing come back, whereas before he was behind it a little bit. He was swinging at bad pitches that were out of the strike zone, and that's what happens when you're pressing. I think he wants to do so well here in San Diego because he really had become the face of the franchise ever since he was acquired from the Los Angeles Dodgers. And it's really good to see him come out and do the things that he wants to do.
Great to see both he and Justin Upton coming up with big hits late in the game last night that were essentially, from an offensive standpoint, the difference in the game. Also, though, for the Padres, some early runs last night, courtesy of Will Middlebrooks, which was really nice because, again, you had the 10-inning game where they were shut out for 9 innings. We've had all the low-scoring offensive issues in the last, you know, couple of weeks during this stretch here. So to get early runs to sort of break through early on really made it feel like, okay, you know, this night is off on the right foot. And for it to be a guy like Middlebrooks doing it was all the more encouraging because he's another guy you'd really like to see get going right now.
Boy, he's strong.
Yeah.
He really is. I mean, he's a big guy, but when he hits the ball powers off of his baseball bat, and it's pretty impressive to see. He's a guy that if he could throw, you know, 250 to 270 out there with 20 or 25 home runs, it would sure make the season fun for this franchise.
That would change a lot of things, would it not?
Yes, it would. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So, look, I mean, he's still a young guy. I think that's something to keep in mind here. And he's still trying to, you know, sort of get acclimated to a new system. And who knows what Will Middlebrooks is going to be in the long run. But he's certainly got the ability. And, yeah, if that can all come together and if that can all happen and you put him in the pot with everybody else, that's how this team gets on the roll that we're all sort of waiting for them to get on.
And I really enjoyed watching Cash last night. I mean, he threw the ball really well. He was spotting the ball well, working it in and out, had good velocity on his fastball. His breaking ball was working well. It's just good to see starting pitcher after starting pitcher. It goes back to the beginning of the season where we expected it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
And we might have expected too much from certain areas. You know, when the bullpen started to falter a little bit, all of a sudden, wow, can you believe this is happening? I mean, these guys saved 61. We were 62 and one or some crazy number last year after the sixth inning.
Yeah.
Nobody touched the bullpen. But yet we went out this year. They got roughed up a little bit, and everybody's feathers got ruffled and wondering what's going on. And you know, it happens in baseball. It really does.
Yeah. All right. So it's a forward-looking thing, obviously, at this point. But you're right. Cash was nails again last night. Another good start out of him. 7 innings, 3 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. And this gives me great pleasure to say it. Andrew Cashner was helped out by unearned runs. He was helped out by unearned runs. The Angels gave up a couple of late unearned runs that are the difference in the ballgame, and Cashner, who on his watch has seen more unearned runs scored than any other pitcher in baseball so far this year, I guess that's a twist of fate. It's ironic. Whatever you want to call it, it was nice. And I imagine it felt good deep down somewhere for Andrew Cashner to be on the good end of some defensive plays that lead to runs being scored.
Hey, you have to take advantage of those situations. It looked a little to me last night like Garrett Richards was overprotective of the knee that he hurt last year.
Yeah.
Which I think is a natural situation.
Very understandable.
When he went over to cover first base on that one play and also again on the bunt play, I think he was really looking out at either planting that foot or being careful not to injure it again, which – I don't blame him.
No, I don't blame him at all. And I think we all made that same observation. He didn't look like he was super excited about having to make those plays defensively. And you know what they always say, right, when you're coming back from an injury like that and a surgery like that, and his was really nasty in the knee, you know, it takes time to psychologically trust, you know, the surgically repaired part of your body. It's not just the physical rehabilitation, but mentally you have to be able to trust, you know, that that body part is going to work the way it worked prior to the injury. And yeah, he doesn't appear to be there yet, at least when it comes to making defensive plays. And
so that's something he's going to have to work.
Yeah, right? You do, don't you?
Well.
I mean, if you're a bunting guy.
I would.
Yeah.
I mean.
No.
You know, people are probably out there, oh, that's real nice.
No, but I mean.
But not a guy that's injured or that's worried about hurting his leg.
It's part of the game.
That's the way it goes.
That's it, man. All right, good stuff. Hey, we got a fun show coming up. Will Venable is going to stop by in a little bit. There's a rumor that the Friar may stop by. He's a really, really tremendous conversationalist. So we'll have some good talks here with the Friar. The mascot, he's going to come by. Also, when we return, we're going to get some minor league updates. And not just in sort of a tangential, hey, I was reading about the Fort Wayne Tin Cavs. We're going to talk to a guy, John Conniff, who runs Mad Friars. You see him on Twitter. He writes for FoxSportsSanDiego.com. He is on a road trip right now. He is checking out the Fort Wayne Tin Cavs. He is checking out the San Antonio Missions. This is like what he does with his free time. He goes around, he watches the Padres minor league affiliates, and he writes very eloquently about them. He's going to call us on the Cholula hotline, and we're going to have a conversation with him about what's happening down on the farm.
Good stuff.
Very good stuff. You know what else is good stuff? Party in the Park. It's coming back tomorrow night as the Padres take on the Pirates at 7:10. It's San Diego's biggest happy hour, and it begins at 5 o'clock, and it features live entertainment plus $5 food and drinks. Get your tickets at the box office here at the ballpark or at padres.com/party. 7:10 first pitch, 5 o'clock first pour, Party at the Park tomorrow night. We'll take a break, come back, talk some minor league baseball with John Conniff of Mad Friars. This is Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour with Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Will Venable coming up in a few minutes. We'll talk to him about a couple of outstanding defensive plays he made.
Boy, you think?
The Trout one was a lot of fun. That's end of the year.
He's just a good defensive outfielder.
Great defensive outfielder.
He really is.
Can I say that? How's his UZR? Is it good enough for me to call him great? What about his defensive run saved, his DRS?
I think great
what does the
is okay.
Great is okay. You're good with great? As long as you're good with great, I'm good with great. So we'll talk to him coming up in a few moments. Time now, though, to activate the Cholula Hotline and welcome in John Conniff of Mad Friars. You can follow him on Twitter, at Mad Friars. You can read him on FoxSportsSanDiego.com. John, you are checking in with us from where today?
I'm in Fort Wayne. I'm calling you guys from Parkview Field, and the second doubleheader game is about to start.
Well, look at that. He's at the Tin Caps game, and the game is about to happen. Now, you don't have express written permission or consent from the Tin Caps to pass along play-by-play of what's happening. So I just, you know, I don't want you to get yourself in trouble there.
I'm doing the interview from the president of the club's office, so I think I got carte blanche to pass that along.
All right. All right. Hey.
I'll be all right.
Okay. I don't want any lawsuits. Can I start with Franchi Cordero? He's a name I think we should all be pretty aware of at this point. And obviously when you're talking about, you know, single A, it's going to be a couple of years. But a shortstop who's having a really nice season, is he not?
No, he's been struggling. He was a big prospect. He was making a lot of errors short, and they moved him out to the outfield, and things have been going along for him a little bit better. And he's in center field to start tonight's game. The guy you probably might be thinking of is a shortstop that just called up, who's only 18 years, is Rudy Jaron, who's just been tremendous. He's hitting about 460, and he looks really smooth out there, and he's definitely going to be someone to watch.
Rudy Jaron, that's right. Rudy with two Ds. He's the big guy.
Correct.
Also, and he's only been there a little bit, right? So, I mean, when do we start, or when do we stop maybe having sample size questions about Rudy?
That's my pet peeve in the media. I don't know. I think he's, you know, the best thing probably is just to watch him play for the rest of the summer. I mean, I got to interview him earlier today. He's a really nice kid. He got injured in the Arizona League last year, and he had some bad numbers. Came back. He really worked hard in the instructs and in extended spring, and he came up here, and he's just great. He had a double in the first game, and last night he just parked a homer over the left field fence. Makes all the plays in defense, and he's definitely someone to watch.
So Rudy's I'm not familiar with Rudy. Where's he from?
Rudy's a guy from the Dominican Republic, and half the team is pretty much Latin in Fort Wayne this year. So they've had a lot of coaches that are Spanish-speaking that are working with him, and, you know, he's the type of guy that, you know, I guess, Kurt, if you're looking at the more traditional evaluation, he's got just a lot of tools. I mean, he can run, he can throw, he's got a little bit of pop. It's more of a line drive swing, and that's kind of what you're really noticing right now, because the Jets just hit 12 games, as the dreaded phrase, too small a sample size. But, you know, when you hit 470 and you come up in your debut, that's good.
It's a good way to get people's attention.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's been a really interesting guy to watch just in the last couple of weeks. The draft, obviously, is coming up this year. Last year's second-round pick, I believe, Michael Geddes. He is with the Tin Caps now, is that right? What's sort of going on with him? I know they were very high on him in spring training.
Yeah, he's in center field. He had a really good first month, and he kind of had some trouble running into May. He's been doing pretty well since I've been here in the past four games where I've seen him. He's hit a lot of doubles. Great athlete. He just, you know, he's another guy who's young. He's only 18. Last year he was playing high school ball in Georgia. And his big thing is to lay up a high fastball. But when you talk to the Padres video guys, he has a really good pitch recognition. He made some very good defensive plays. He's another guy where you just have to kind of give him some time and, you know, kind of let him play. He's not going to move up to Lake Elsinore anytime soon. And I think he'll be able to stick it out in Fort Wayne and not go down to the short season leagues and Tri-City, the new affiliate that they'll have this summer.
So he falls all in right with all the rest of the young kids laying off that eye-high fastball that you can see so well.
Yeah, that's his big problem. Like, my assumption was, and you can talk about this better than I can, Kurt. I mean, I would think he would have more problem with the breaking pitches and changeups, but his biggest problem right now is just laying off the high fastball. I mean, he hammered a curve the other night. I mean, just nearly bounced against the center field wall. So he can do that, and he has a lot of speed. He's what they call a classic five-tool guy, and if he can hit, he will definitely be someone to watch.
John,
also with San Antonio earlier this week, too.
Yeah, I want to ask you about some of the stuff going on at San Antonio. John Conniff, MattFriars.com, on Twitter, at Matt Friars, with us on the Cholula Hotline. A name we're definitely hearing more and more of, I think, as time goes on, would be Travis Jankowski with the AA San Antonio Missions. What can you tell us about him right now?
Oh, I'm a big fan of his. His game is a little bit like Corey Spangenberg, only he's a little bit better defender. He's about 6'3", a solid 200 pounds. He can just run. I think in Elsinore in 2013, he stole 71 bases. He has 15 this year, only three times caught stealing. His biggest improvement is he's been able to handle the inside pitch. So he's using more of the whole field, which opens up a lot. He's not going to be a home run hitter, but, you know, he can get a lot of doubles and triples. He's in about 330. I don't have the stats in front of me, with a pretty high on base percentage. And he's cut down his strikeouts quite a bit, too.
Talking to John Conniff, Matt Friars on the Cholula Hotline. Young pitching at San Antonio, yes?
Tremendous. You know, they have a guy I saw there tonight right before I left, Ryan Butler. He got called up from Elsinore. And he was like sitting in the mid-90s throughout the game. Now, he still needs to work on his breaking pitches and his changeup. But, you know, if you talk to people in the minor leagues, I mean, anyone who can consistently throw in the mid-90s, you know, they like that. That's something they can work with. And that's with Colin Ray down there, who's very good.
Yeah.
Justin Hancock, Elliot Morris. And Casey Kelly's starting to be stretched out. And he was a little rough, but he's starting to come around. So the pitching staff at San Antonio is probably the best in the system. And all those guys kind of profiles. People could, you know, probably about number four, potentially number three starters. So they're someone to watch.
All right, good stuff. John Conniff, MadFriars.com, on Twitter, at MadFriars, goes around with some other folks that write for the site, checks out the Padres minor league affiliates, and writes about them. What's the next thing you've got coming on FoxSportsSanDiego.com so we can make sure everybody checks it out?
Hopefully we'll have an article on Colin Ray coming up and one on Nick Torres, who's an outfielder here for Fort Wayne. He's out of Cal Poly with a fourth-round pick. He's had a really good season so far. And our next trip should be out to El Paso in about mid to late June.
Very nice. All right, John Conniff, make sure you check him out at Mad Friars. John, appreciate it as always, man. Have a good rest of your trip.
Hey, thanks, guys, for having me on.
Appreciate it. John Conniff, Mad Friars.
John's a go-to guy.
Yeah, he is, man. He's all over. It's fun. Reading this stuff, really in-depth. Really good stuff. He was on the Cholula Hotline. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres.
It sounds a little like John might be tough to get on a hot seat. He knows his stuff.
Yeah, no, you're not going to throw him off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like I screwed up the first question. He was like, no. Dummy. Wrong guy. I just read my notes wrong. But, like, no, it's good. Like, you know, he's really into it. Look, if you're going to talk to somebody about what's taking place in the minors, there are so many guys in so many places. So you better hope that the guy can keep everybody straight.
No, I'm sitting there listening to him. I know you looked over at me one time to ask a question, and I was so enthralled with everything that he was saying and learning from what he was saying that I really didn't have anything to ask him.
There you go. He's just got all the information.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to take a break when we come back. Something a little bit silly. The Friar is here, and I'm going to put him in maybe a little bit of an uncomfortable situation. He doesn't really know what's coming. But I'm going to ask him a favor, and it's not the most pious thing ever that I'm going to ask him to do. So we'll see how he reacts to that. And he can say no. I'm not trying to put undue pressure on the mascot, for goodness sakes. But, you know, we'll do that. And then Will Venable is going to stop by as well. Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio continues right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park. I'm Jesse Agler. Kurt Bavacqua is here. The Friar has joined us on the set. Now, I don't normally like to use the show to handle my own personal grudges, but every once in a while, something needs to be discussed. So last year, I was with the Padres, and we were in Pittsburgh to take on the Pirates. And I think it was a Thursday, and the Padres had an off day. And Friday, Saturday, Sunday were games against the Pirates at PNC Park. Beautiful. So Thursday night, the Pirates were hosting the Marlins. So I was like, oh, we'll go as a fan. So I went with a couple of people, and we just sort of were walking around beautiful PNC Park, having a great time. And I've always loved – I'm a big mascot guy. I've always loved the Pirate Parrot. And I think mainly because I think the concept is very clever. They weren't literal about it. They didn't say, hey, we'll have a pirate, like a swashbuckling guy with a sword and a Johnny Depp thing. Like they said, well, we'll have a parrot. It's funnier. It's cuter. And he's a very funny mascot. So I got very excited when we were at PNC Park, and I was there as a fan, and the parrot was walking towards me. And I had my phone out. I was like, oh, this is great. I want to get a quick picture with the parrot. And the guy with the parrot, the handler, you know, because these mascots, you guys are very important. You know, you got to have somebody helping you out. And so the guy with the parrot, like, shoved me aside. I was like, no pictures. And I was like, whoa. So ever since then, I've had this sort of, like, real hatred for the parrot. And his guy. So as a joke, somebody got, or Blooper and Becky actually, got me this parrot for my birthday this year. So, Friar, I just want to make sure you would never do anything like that to somebody who was a huge fan, right? No, you wouldn't do that. So what are you going to – oh, look at that. There you go. Use it like a loofah. That's very nice. Oh, yeah. Get out of here, parrot. Thank you very much, Friar. I appreciate that. So there you go. Personal.
We couldn't get the headset to fit the Friar.
No, we could not. It fits Randy Jones and Bill Center, but it cannot fit the Friar. All right, so there you go. Personal grudge taken care of. I feel better about this. Hey, remember, you can join the conversation on the program by using the hashtag PadresSH. And I said Will Venable is coming up in a couple of moments. So we got a good question that came in on Twitter from Cody. And Cody, thanks again, Friar. Cody wanted to know about Will Venable. And I think this is a really interesting question. He says, with the way that Will Venable has been playing, will he get more playing time when Will Myers comes back? If you ask that question to Buddy Black, I would predict he would say something along the lines of, we'll see when we get there. Because it's hard to sort of answer this kind of question prior to everybody being back and knowing what kind of form everyone is in when that takes place. But let's say Will Venable is still hitting well. We know what you're getting defensively out of him. you know, Will Myers has been a huge part of the success the Padres have had this year. How do you handle that situation if in a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks everybody's healthy and everybody's ready?
Everybody, including Yonder Alonso?
Yes.
Then it's going to be a good situation for Buddy to have. You got a 330 hitter back in the lineup, or back being able to be put into lineup. You've got a guy that's a catalyst in your lineup back on your roster and able to play. And you've got a guy that you know can come off the bench or that can go out there almost on an everyday basis and play the way Will Venable has played the last few games. We all know that he's done it. We've seen him do it before. He kind of struggled a little bit last year, but he's playing the kind of baseball that he's able to play this year. And I think it's going to make the situation much better for Buddy.
Yeah, I mean, the more guys you've got who are doing well and doing good things, the better of a situation it is for the manager.
And you know what it does to the clubhouse? It makes the players closer also, because everybody's contributing. Everybody feels like they're a part of it. And it's not like there's only 9 or 10 guys that are going out there and doing it. There's 15 or 16 guys. Well, there's not that many. But there's 13 or 14. Yeah. I forgot how many pitchers they carry now. It's ridiculous, the number of pitchers they carry. But you got to pitch for the 6th inning, 7th inning, the 8th inning.
Yeah.
You got two
yeah.
for the 9th inning.
Your buddy La Russa started all that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. So it's interesting about the clubhouse and the impact they can have there. Another question came in, and I'm going to kind of rephrase it from the guy, but he wants to know about your minor league experience. As we were just talking to John at Mad Friars about, you know, guys coming up and, you know, as a young drafted kid having to play at one level and the advancement, he wants to know about your minor league experience and what you remember about your progression through the ranks.
People ask me all the time, when I look back on my minor league days, and it was probably some of the most fun time I ever had in baseball. I'll never forget the first night that I stepped out on the field in at Tampa Stadium when I went up and reported to Tampa Tarpons, because I was playing in the Reds organization at the time. And I remember being a little bit shrunken because I was surrounded by great players. When I was used to being one of the better ones, all of a sudden I am in a group where everybody is really good. And then just going from A-ball to double-A to triple-A, and the bus trips, you know, the whole thing. I mean, you look back.
It's everything people imagine it is, isn't it? You know, when you talk about the crazy stories and the buses and the long rides and the hijinks or whatever. I mean, it's all there.
All kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I was making a lot of money my first year.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, it was $3 a day meal money, and I think it was $400 a month.
Mm, crazy.
That's for 5 months.
No, I understand. And that's it.
That's it.
That's it. Quite a life. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. Will Venable, talk to him about his great play the last couple of days in Anaheim and about the state of this team as well. Meanwhile, you may have heard, Kurt, that the first National League All-Star Game ballot update was announced. Derek Norris, Justin Upton, Matt Kemp need your votes to get to the top. Vote for these Padres All-Stars up to 35 times at Padres.com/vote or with the MLB.com at Bat app. Interesting theory floated out by somebody, too, on the internet about voting for the All-Stars. We might talk about that a little bit later.
We should talk about the All-Star voting later.
Okay. Are you going to get all fired up?
Not fired up, but
you got
I think the fans of San Diego can do a hell of a lot more than they're doing.
Oh, you're calling the fans out.
Absolutely.
All right. Go vote 35 times, Padres.com/vote, or on your MLB.com at Bat app. Take a break. Come back, Will Venable, right after this. Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back, Padres Social Hour team. Back after the trip up to Los Angeles, down to Anaheim, and now home in San Diego. We're at the AMR studio, first of four against the Pittsburgh Pirates coming up. A couple non-NL West or AL West games for the Padres against both Pittsburgh and the Mets this week. Will Venable is here. Do you guys get tired of divisional play the way maybe I get tired of divisional play, or do you like seeing the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks and the Rockies and the Giants over and over and over again?
You know, they're big league baseball games. They're all exciting. Yeah. We're excited to be out there no matter what. But, yeah, it's always nice to play some teams that you don't see a lot, see some other players, and, you know, just a good different look.
Yeah. What about from a hitter's standpoint? Is it easier when you see a guy a bunch of times through the season, you kind of have those at-bats against him? Or is it sometimes easier with, like, a fresh start against, you know, an A.J. Burnett, you know, tonight, who you don't see, you know, a couple times a year, I guess?
Yeah, I think it's always an advantage as a hitter to face guys that you've seen before. You know, at the same time, you know, you might match up better against some of these guys you don't face a lot. So there's pros and cons to both.
Fair enough. I imagine it's been nice being in the lineup most days for the last couple of weeks. How settled in do you feel to this thing right now?
Good. You know, feel like comfortable out in the outfield and, you know, feel good at the plate. You know, I'm just trying to go out there and help our team win, take advantage of whatever opportunity I have to help the team. But, you know, it's been nice the last couple of weeks to be out there. And, you know, I've got to get those guys back healthy. But until then, you know, be out there doing my thing.
So you got into doing your thing, as you kind of alluded to, after the injuries. What was the process of staying sharp every day? You know, you never know when that opportunity is going to present itself. You never know when all of a sudden you're going to be asked to be playing every day again. What was that like for you this year?
You know, it's just about work, just going out every day. And whether it's, you know, in the weight room or in the cage, on, you know, doing extra work, you know, you're not going to have an impact on the game until maybe later in the game. So that first part of your day when you get to the field and you have those couple hours to prepare are really, really important, and you really got to grind. And, you know, just make sure you're taking advantage of that time so whenever your opportunity does come, you're ready to go.
All right, let's talk about the fun stuff from this weekend or this week against the Angels. Is it more fun to take a home run away from somebody or to hit a home run? You've done both quite a number of times in your big league career. This one was pretty spectacular against Mike Trout, which kind of makes it more fun, at least for us. So which is the better feeling, the robbing of the home run or the hitting of the home run?
I would say they're equal. As long as you're helping your team win in any, you know, in whatever way it is, you win the game and you make a play, whether it's driving in a run or saving a run, I think that they're equally, you know, gratifying.
All right, that's a very political and fair answer. It makes sense, too. Now, look, for us, it was a lot of fun to talk about it because Trout does this somewhat on the regular, it seems like. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine it matters to you who hit the ball, but is there a little bit of extra, like, hey, that was Mike Trout. I just out-trouted Trout. I mean, that was sort of the joke we were all making.
Yeah, well, yeah. And considering that, you know, on that field, he's done that countless amount, you know, numbers of times to different people, it was, you know, I guess ironic that it was Trout who hit it. But, you know, the situation was what it was. It saved us a couple runs, and so it was all good.
Saved the Padres a couple of runs in a game that would be scoreless into extra innings. So a huge, huge, huge moment in that game that allowed the Padres to go on and win it. And then I don't want to forget about the catch last night. That one was pretty spectacular, too. What was the degree of difficulty comparison for maybe the two great catches the last couple of nights?
The Trout ball was much tougher, just going back on it and having to take my eye off it and then find the wall, and there was some twilight going on, as opposed to, you know, a ball right in front of you that you just reach out for and kind of your fall takes you into a dive.
It's way too nonchalant. You know, come on, look at that, man.
You know, those are the things that you practice as a kid. You know, you and your brother throwing balls, you know, to dive for, you know, those are the fun ones, you know, that it's just instincts. You know, you just go out there and try and catch it.
Also, in a huge part of a game last night, seventh inning of a two-run game, Padres with the lead. That helps preserve the lead. With the Trout one, though, back to that, did you have it all the way? I mean, you just mentioned the twilight and some of the things you're competing with there, knowing the wall is coming and the warning track. Do you pretty much have it the entire time? Do you have it and then figure out where you are and pick it back up? What's that like for you in that
situation?
Yeah,
you got to you know, ball hit over your head, and you know the wall's coming up on you. You for one, you have to take your eye off the ball to, you know, get your direction right and make sure that you're efficient in your route and head in the right direction. And then, you know, then the wall comes and you have to deal with that. And then picking the ball back up in the twilight, it was just really, you know, just kind of, I want to say lucked into it, but the ball ended up just being right where it ended up being, which was a good thing because I couldn't see it until it got close to me.
That's crazy. One of the spectacular defensive plays we've seen in all of baseball so far this season. As long as we're talking about defense, that was a fun way for the game to end last night. You don't often get the walk-off outfield assist, but Kemp gets Ibar trying to stretch a single into the double. guys a potential tying run in that situation. That's a fun way to end a game, I imagine, for the outfielders.
Yeah, big time. And what a great play by Matty, man. You know, like you said, we got a guy in scoring position with some big guys coming up. It was a huge play. Throw was right on the money, and a nice play by Alexi to put the tag on him.
I like the Amarista fist pumps and the claps. He was all fired up. That's like the defensive equivalent of a walk-off, and you don't see it very often, as we said. It was a lot of fun. All right, so this season, you know, we had the ups, we've had the downs, a couple of wins in a row now, obviously try and keep that rolling against the Pirates here this weekend in a four-game series. How would you evaluate sort of the mood of this team and just sort of where everybody's at, you know, coming into this homestand?
Everyone's feeling good. Everyone's really positive. I think, you know, the first stretch there of 40 games or so, I think you saw just a lot of good things, but maybe not all synced up in the right way. And I think that, you know, this last series was really good in the sense that, you know, our pitching was great, our defense was great, and our big guys hit the ball well and came up with some big hits. And I think that's what it's supposed to look like for us. And, you know, hopefully that kind of catapults us into more of that here coming up.
Yeah, I like that. I think the Angels series, the successful parts of it, the sort of the blueprint that we all kind of expected maybe back at the beginning of April, and you hope to push that forward. Is that what's most encouraging, you think, at this point, that, all right, we just saw finally, you know, what can happen, you know, when the pitching and the hitting is all in concert?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you know, speaks also to the guys we have. You know, the expectations we have are obviously high, but they're high for a reason, because, you know, all of our players we have, it's a good, great collection of talent, but guys with track records of you know, a lot of success in this game. So and that's what good players do. They play well, and you know, eventually we get them all on the same page, we're going to be all right.
I like that. All right, one last thing for Will Venable, and I know you're sick of this question in this conversation, but when I say Will Venable, longest tenured Padre, you know, you smile a little bit. Is it crazy to you? Because I imagine it feels like, hey, I'm a young man, and now you've been here longer than anybody else has been here after this incredible amount of turnover we've seen.
Yeah, I feel very fortunate to be around for so long. You know, I felt fortunate to be able to be with guys like Chase Headley and Nick Hundley and the coaching staff for as long as we were together up until last year. That in itself was great, and to still be around is, you know, it's a blessing. I'm so happy to be in San Diego, part of this organization, but time sure does fly.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, Will, always appreciate you stopping by and for the conversation, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that's Will Venable. We'll take a break. More Social Hour coming up. Reminder, too, as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Big thank you to Will Venable. More Social Hour right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio with Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Hey, Ian Kennedy and A.J. Burnett tonight. A.J. Burnett, yeah, that A.J. Burnett. You know, May 12, 2001, he walks 9 Padres and allows no hits. One of the strangest, weirdest no-hitters in Major League history. Mark Kotze started in center field for the Padres that night. You know who the right fielder for the Marlins was? Eric Owens. What a weird, weird game, May 12, 2000. But, yes, that same A.J. Burnett is still pitching. He has said this will be his last year, and he's, like, unbelievably good right now. He's got, like, a 1-something ERA. He's won 4 straight starts. And I actually read something where he said, I'm just not worried about anything. Like, he knows it's his last season. He sort of said this is going to be it, and the pressure's off, and all of a sudden he's pitching better than he has in years. Amazing how that can happen.
He's finally learned how to pitch. After all these years,
he's won a lot of games in his career.
Absolutely.
He's a very accomplished guy.
Absolutely. I mean, no, I was just kidding. But, you know, when you're relaxed and you don't have any stress and you're out there on the mound, you know what you're doing and you know how to pitch the hitters, it makes it a lot easier.
It's crazy.
It really is. I mean, it really is.
So anyway, he is hot. The Pirates are hot, and they are here for the first of 4. Let's go back to Twitter. We mentioned the All-Star voting a little while ago. And Justin on Twitter, he says, hey, I did my part, voted 35 times. And he goes, it's true. The NL Padres fill the field in all of my votes. So he just went straight Padres. down the entire thing. So Norris fifth among catchers, which is crazy because he leads all National League catchers in like every offensive category and in catcher caught stealing. Upton, I think, is ninth among outfielders. Kemp is eighth among outfielders. There's work to be done here in the voting booths.
Well, let's be sure that we all realize that people in other cities aren't going to vote for Derek Norris, Justin Upton, Matt Kemp, whoever your favorite Padres are that you think are deserving to go and play in the All-Star game. If you want to see them in the All-Star game this year in Cincinnati, you're going to have to go out and vote. And when I mentioned earlier that the fans need to get out and do it, I know there's a lot of you out there that are doing the voting, and you're doing a great job. It's the fans that come to the park, they enjoy themselves, and for whatever reason, they just go about their business and they never really think about it. If you really enjoy the ball club and you enjoy what it's all about, being a San Diego Padre, go out and vote for these guys because it's, it puts San Diego in the magnifying glass.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah, no, it's not going to come from the people in St. Louis.
That's for sure.
I think that's the main point.
No, Yadier, right. Yeah, Yadier Molina type
yeah.
people.
Yeah, exactly. Now, interestingly enough, all right, so Gwyntelligence, right? It's one of the blogs out there, and it's the two guys. And they're very passionate Padre fans. Say whatever else you want about them. There's plenty you could say, but they are huge Padre fans. And so one of the guys, he wrote today about how Padre fans should be stuffing the ballot box for Alexi Amarista. And he said the reason is shortstop is doable. Like, if you look at the outfield names, right, you've got Bryce Harper. You've got, like, it's going to be really hard for Padre fans to all make up the ground in the votes. But shortstop is a position where a lot of people aren't voting. And so he did some math, and he said, hey, if, like, 600 Padre fans vote 35 times for Alexi Amarista, he could start the game. And he says, the point is, we want a Padre to start the All-Star game. We don't really care who it is. Now, of course, you should be voting for Norris and Kemp and Upton and everybody else for that matter. But he sort of did some electioneering here. And by his math, shortstop is like, that's the one you could get. Just because there's no, like, big-name shortstops. Tulowitzki's not having a huge year. So he says, hey, focus all of your energy on voting at the shortstop position.
That's pretty good thinking. That's a good thought. I kind of like that.
It's a little screwy, but I like it, too.
But you know, one of these cities to where, and the cities that I'm talking about are the Cincinnati's, the Kansas City's of the world, the St. Louis's. These people go to the ballpark and they're stuffing ballot boxes. I mean, they really are.
Well, they also have nothing else going on in their lives because they live in St. Louis or Kansas City.
Cincinnati.
Oh, no, very much in that same category. One of those central division teams. No offense, Pittsburgh
now,
people.
Now that we have all of those people there that
yeah,
hate us.
Yeah, exactly. That's my fault. Jesse Agler, care of Petco Park, 100 Park Boulevard. But remember, too, it's all digital now. So you gotta go to Padres.com/vote, or you use the MLB.com at Bat app. You can vote on there as well. No more paper ballots at the ballparks.
It's so easy to do now.
That's it. Jeez. And you can do it 35 times. You just sit there, click. It takes you, what, like 5 minutes to go 35 times? 5 minutes. 5 minutes of your time to vote for all of your Padres. So get out the vote. It's an important thing to do.
Are you allowed to do it?
I can't talk about it on the air. I'll tell you in the break.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in, like, the employee handbook. It's one of those things.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-oh.
It's a real serious deal. No, I'm kidding. Of course I can vote. It's a stupid fan vote. Yeah, no, yes, I voted 35 times. It took like 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
Are you going to vote 35 times?
Oh, no, I've been on there with my kids.
All right. Well, you can do it. Your kid can do it. Uh-huh. Your other kid can do it. Your neighbor's kid can do it.
Yep.
Your kid's friend can do it. Get everybody together.
My wife votes
here.
For the good-looking guys.
Is that her?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, luckily, there's a lot of good-looking Padres.
That's true.
So, you know what? We're set. There's some handsome men on this team.
I had to try to get her to vote for Kemp. I said, hey, if he's good enough for Yana, he's good enough for you.
There you go. You figured it all out. I like that. Hey, this Saturday, baseball night in San Diego, and it's a giveaway featuring the very handsome Matt Kemp. It's a Petco Park special. This is a Matt Kemp camo jersey giveaway. Replica jersey plus the pet bandana presented by Petco. All fans in attendance this Saturday night get it. It is a 7:10 first pitch. The Matt Kemp camo jersey for all fans in attendance this Saturday night. Another reason to come out to the ball yard. We'll take a break, come back, wrap up Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio right after this. All right, that's going to do it for Putt. We ran out of time, Kurt. We just
Hey, time flies when you're having fun.
Hey, that's it. Thanks to Will Venable for stopping by, John Conniff of Matt Fryer's Gwintelligence, Alan for all hanging out, and Mike Grace tomorrow with Randy Jones, 5:30.
Tune in.